I've made all these accomplishments, but then there's been this invisible barrier of shame.
Like a few years ago, it was like, oh my God, she's still standing in that. Like that's her. Like you wearing it like it's your fur coat. Take that shit off and throw it on the ground. That's not yours anymore.
There was a belief in my mind that I wasn't good enough without that piece of paper.
You may think that you're off the beaten path, but it's where you're meant to be.
At any age, we can decide for ourselves what it is that we want from life.
Hey, goddess. Are you the proud owner of a Black-owned and operated business? Cool. We'd love to talk to you about being a featured guest during one of our Boom segments. Yep, Boom. Black-owned and operated movement. If you're interested, please send me an email or text with Boom as the subject. Email me at slaywithtrey@gmail.com or text me at 702-323-8080.
Hey, how are you liking the podcast so far? We are loving it. And can I just tell you, it's a lot easier to do than I thought it would ever be. First of all, with Anchor, it's free. They have their own creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast from your phone or your computer, which I love. And yes, I do use both. They even distribute the podcast on various platforms. I mean, we are now on Spotify, Apple, Pandora, and many more. And did I tell you that you can make money from your podcast too? Mm-hmm, you can, and with minimum listenership. Doesn't that sound like everything you need to make a podcast? And it's all in one place. Isn't that so cool? So what are you waiting for? All you have to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The thing that I loved about the first episode of Owning Your Shit is that so much came out of it, whether we just talk about good shit, bad shit, whatever. But one of the things that stood out most for me was the part where we started talking about shame and that goes into like guilt and fear and doubt and all of these other negative connotations that I feel, and I think that we've all talked about it, and we all feel like it needs to be brought to the table. I want to expand on owning your shit by having this part of the conversation.
For me personally, I've made all these accomplishments, but then there's been this invisible barrier of shame. And so it's just been like, let me just say this. I know I've done a lot of good things, but that invisible barrier, it needs to be shattered. You know, I have allowed it to like affect how I interact, affect, you know, my possibilities, keep me stuck, you know, below standard, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I got overly focused on what other people think about me. And that is something that I definitely, in 2020, I want to shatter that. I want to shatter all the barriers that have been keeping me from the things that I deserve, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, because reality is, shame is like, I think I'm bad. And there's just been a few things in my life that I have believed that these things made me bad, or these things took away my value. And so for me, that's where, you know, where I need to step it up a little bit and shatter that, shatter the stigma that revolves around shame, shatter the invisible things that I may not even see. Like sometimes other people have to point out and ask me. I know when we were talking before, one of the questions you asked me was, why do I care what they think? And even though it drew tears to my eyes, it was hard for me to like put my finger on why I cared what they think.
I'm so curious about that, and I can't wait till we can get into your whole take on the word shame, because for me, that was always a word that was always reserved. It was never used. You know how some words, what was that one word hate. So I had a household where my cousins, my aunt was like, oh, we don't use the word hate. You do not use the word hate in this house. You know how we would go around and, you know, siblings would be like, oh, I hate you, I hate you. And we did that in our house one time, and she was like, uh-uh, we don't use that word hate. And so mm-hmm. shame was one of those things that you just didn't use. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to see your take on that. Mm-hmm. So I've always been taught, like, there's things that I might be embarrassed of, things mm-hmm. that I wished I wouldn't have did.
Right. Some things like guilt.
Not know. Maybe mm-hmm. some guilt or something, but shame has never, like, crossed over like that. Mm-hmm. And so even having that conversation with my kids before, and I'm like, now people might be able to tell y'all some things, and I might be like, okay, some things I might not want y'all to know, it might be some other things, but that one word, I've always reserved it. I've always kept that over here. Mm-hmm. So I was always curious as to that. Like, that's just my take on it. So right. for me, I'm so interested in that because it's mm-hmm. a perception. It's like any yeah. perception. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you perceive that?
Right.
So to me, that is so interesting that it's a word. And it's just yeah. how do you perceive that?
Yeah. And so I don't know that I had ever defined it as shame. I think okay. that once I started working on what, even having conversations, like trying to get to, like, okay, what is that? You know, that's when it started to happen. Then I was able to label it because I wasn't even sure what it was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then just over the course of conversations, a lot of times the conversations have been with Tracy because, I mean, we've been friends for so long that transparency is there. And just in some of the things that she's doing, she helps me pull some of that stuff through. But I was able to label it. And then I also know, so let's just cut to the chase. You know, I spent 6 years of my life in a penal institution, and I have, like, come out and been home. I mean, this is 30 years. And if I have to talk about it in a job interview today, it still has, like, oh, really? We got to talk about that? You know, that's not who I am, but it has this layer that has penetrated where I might leave that interview and be thinking about it, resonating in my head a little bit, you know? And I know other people there's a young lady that I know that wouldn't apply for school for a particular trade because her idea was, am I going to be able to get a job in that trade because I have this record, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I have overcome all that, but it still had this little piece of string that, like, and I'm just trying to pull it and unravel it.
That's that shit, though. That's the shit right. I'm talking right. about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so to me, once you take that and you just grab hold of it and own it, then you can stand on it. You know, you're not right now, or not right now, but even like a few years ago, it was like, oh my gosh, she's still standing in that. Like, that's hers. Like, you mm-hmm. wear it like it's your fur coat. Take that shit off and throw it on the ground. That's not yours anymore, you know, mm-hmm. but it's your story to tell. It's your story yeah. to mm-hmm. stand on. And
but so, it's not my weight to carry.
It's not your weight to carry. It's mm-hmm. not your weight to carry.
I like
that. Yeah, I love that. I mm-hmm. love that because mm-hmm. that's the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we talk about stuff like this, like, people do think that it's the bad stuff that I'm talking about when I'm saying owning your shit. But even though that might have been a trying time for you, that when we talked, you said that was the best 6 years of your life, especially that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Shaped who you are. And it's like,
absolutely.
You know what? Fuck that. Own that yeah. shit.
Yeah, and shape where I want to be. Like, I remember when I signed up for school, ultimately I was watching other people around me kind of figure out their vision and start to, like, this is the vision I'm going to have for my life. And I need this piece of paper just to, you know, whatever the reason was for other people. But I was like, I wasn't even thinking about going to school. I wasn't even thinking about being anybody's therapist and I just started to get this vision for my own life that I could potentially help other people move beyond the fence. Mm. And I wanted to do it. And I didn't want anybody to not take me seriously. So I said, fuck it. I'm gonna go get a degree because when I get that piece of paper and I got that license behind my name, you know, that was my thinking. Like, you can't eradicate this from me. Right. Nowadays, you don't need that. You just go and you do and you're organic or whatever. But there was a belief in my mind that I wasn't good enough without that piece of paper. Mm-hmm. That's the truth, you know. But had I never went to prison, I would not even be contemplating Beyond the Fence.
Right.
Which is my legacy. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Which I can't even argue with it. It is a good thing. And so was the incarceration. The mandatory minimums and all of that. And, you know, I was 19 or whatever, you know, yeah, that stuff was a little bit tough, but I grew up and I became a better woman as a result of it. You know, I challenged myself, which is what a lot of what I want to bring to other people. Like, don't let your time use you, use that time for you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't let it be something that, you know, you just self-destruct while you in it. Mm-hmm. Build up some shit while you in it. Mm-hmm. I could have walked out that door with Beyond the Fence, you know, because it was already being birthed during that time.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was.
But I got caught up in the rat race. So, you know, I don't want nobody else to do it.
Did.
But yeah.
See, even when, remember the first thing that I said, I had a dream and then I had that whole vision about starting this whole center, this birthing center, and I was going to do all of this stuff, like, in my head. Uh-huh. That's what took me to nursing school.
Right.
But being caught up in, you don't have no experience. How you going to go out and do something else? You don't have no experience as a nurse. What do you know? Like, mm-hmm. and everybody has that mindset. It's like they're creating all these little robots. So you go out and it's like, okay, well, I do want to go back to school anyway. So let me get a job in nursing and then let me go back to school at the same time. And then let me go back and get some more experience over here. And then by that time, like, I moved myself so far from my vision. It was like, wow, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? And then I end up on a totally different track.
Yeah.
I could be at a place, though, where I was like, what the hell's wrong with me? Why did I do that? You know, and beat myself up about it. But the truth is, it's okay. That's my shit. I made that decision to go ahead and do that. And I absolutely think it was a great decision. And it also has kind of brought me full circle, because now back to Lola, Labor of Love Academy. This is what I'm doing. It's time for y'all to slay with Trey, because this is how Trey do it, you know. And when we get to talking about kitty calls and cocktails, you know, where we are evaluating and looking at women and women's issues, reproductive issues and menopausal issues and all those things, that's my way of pulling all of that stuff in that I've learned over the years. I'm pulling it in, but I got to do it Tracy's way. Katie, you had that discussion earlier too.
It's crazy, because when you sit back and you look at the big picture of life, you may think that you're off the beaten path, but it's where you're meant to be. Just like you said, those 6 years, like, damn, I don't want to be here or whatever. Mm-hmm. But as you take another path, you in a different place. You're a totally different person. Mm-hmm. And this is what you're meant to be. This is who you're meant to be, no matter what path it is. And it's just so crazy how you just end up. And when you are an adult and you take a look and you look back, you're like, damn, had I not went that way, it'll have been something totally different. Be it good, be it bad. And usually it's the negative stuff that we can't see while we're in here. So all the negative stuff, like all the struggles, like even when I struggle, like had to work 2-3 jobs at a time and just like, oh my God, or not having any place to be and just, you know, homeless or whatever. When you go through that and you look back later, it's like, had I not did that, I'd be a totally different person.
Exactly.
And so you learn to appreciate it. Even though you can't appreciate it while you're in the middle of it, it makes you who you are, no matter what. Now, at this age, I can sit back and be like, oh, okay, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And God, I didn't really believe it then, but now you're just like, okay.
Yeah, we learn to take that muscle and make it work for us. It's like, nobody is doing this exact push-up the way I'm doing it. Mm-mm. You know, and it's creatively building me into who I need to be.
Exactly. And nobody can. Nobody can do it that way. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big reason that I push so much for people to just figure out what you want in life, even at 50 or beyond. Like, I think my oldest nursing student was 70. She was 70 or pretty close to it.
Oh, wow.
Right? I was like, you like it? I love it. Okay. But I'm not treating you any different. You're going to learn, you know. And right. So, like, I think that at any age, we can decide for ourselves what it is that we want from life. And we can make some changes in it. Mm-hmm. You know? So.
This morning, on my way to the interview, right?
Uh-huh.
So we've been talking about that invisible feeling of not enough and da-da-da-da-da. So why did my arm and my back and my shoulder start hurting? Even while I'm telling you...
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, goddess. Are you the proud owner of a Black-owned and operated business? Cool. We'd love to talk to you about being a featured guest during one of our Boom segments. Yep, Boom. Black-owned and operated movement. If you're interested, please send me an email or text with Boom as the subject. Email me at slaywithtrey@gmail.com or text me at 702-323-8080.
And we're back. Why do you feel this conversation is necessary, especially for us at 50 or beyond?
You know, I'm really at this phase in my life where I'm not only reinventing myself, but reconnecting with myself. And the conversation around those invisible barriers like shame and lack of self-love and all of those things that we tend to guilt and, you know, that they have been part of our narrative, they're not necessarily fitting anymore. They're not necessarily fitting in the same way because one, so much time has passed that we're trying to figure out, well, I've been trying to figure out their true relevance. Like, you know, the fact that when, you know, our previous conversations around these matters brought tears to my eyes, you know, just realizing that this has been a hindrance. You know, it's been eliminating me from being where I want to be. And it hasn't even been my intention for it to do that. I just haven't been paying enough attention to address the pain associated with it.
I feel that. I think that a lot of people, women especially, can find themselves in that space. And I think that now, you know, I've talked to so many different women about like making some true life changes. And a lot of people have that peace. It's like there's something that's just there. And I know that we were having that conversation about me even feeling like there's this brick wall that's right in front of me, but it's invisible. And every now and again, I get a good hit at it, but it's a moving. So it's like a moving target. And every now and again, I get a good hit at it. And it's like, oh, okay, there's my breakthrough. There's my thing right on the other side of it. But then there's still another piece to this wall. It kind of reminds me of those. Y'all remember them little them little sticker bushes?
Mm-hmm.
You know how you talk about them little round things and they get caught in your clothes. What are they called? I don't even know what they're called.
Oh,
but
no.
And then you pulling them off, but later on you still find that some of it is sticking you and you're like, God damn, I thought I got that off of me.
Right.
Like, that's what I think that is. It's like residual. It's some leftover that we need to deal with in order for us to move forward. The other thing that people do a lot of is they hide behind their busyness. So I'm busy with work, I'm busy with family, I got to take care of my mama, I got to go over here and do this. You know, they hide behind that. And sometimes we don't even realize that that's what we're doing, but we're so caught up in that that we don't have time to stop to focus on things like this so that we can heal from them. And really, we need some healing. And I know I said this to y'all a long time ago, is that I did not realize how tired and stressed I was until I walked away from work and was off for a while. And the crazy thing about that is I felt guilty about not getting up and running every day and doing something for somebody else. It was like, this is a crazy thing. So that can be another beast. Like, we just hide behind things that,
and now here's the thing, so I know that's true, you know what I mean, like a lot of the work I do with grief recovery is about healing with regardless of how many roles and activities you got going in your life, you know, and how any one of those things can be exactly what you said, a place to hide. But even in somebody being busy, they can do this work, you know. I know for me, like, I get it, because I was sitting here thinking like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to have 90 days off right now. And I can just like get down to the nitty gritty and get like sharpen the saw, you know what I mean? But when we're not able to do that, we can still find a way out. You know, I think some of the things like writing the timeline of everything that you've experienced, because I think sometimes that stuff gets lost and people don't even know that they're experiencing pain as a result of it.
And, you know, the other thought I had was, we look back sometimes and we see all the negative and all the bad. But if you take time to actually do that timeline over the last few years, like, what is it that I have accomplished? Like, you realize that, like, for me, I was like, man, I've done so much more than I thought. Then I thought that I even did. So I think that we just need to give credit where credit is due. So while we're doing the journaling, while we're doing, and I think grief recovery too is a great thing for people. Mm-hmm. And for people that don't know what that is, Patty, you want to?
Yeah. Basically, it's just giving up the hope of a different or better yesterday. You know, like, we experience losses on a day-to-day basis. We might experience the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, or, you know, I mean, people don't realize this, but if you work for a company where you change locations, you're going to experience a loss. You have a relationship to that group of people that you work with. And a lot of times we just move right through that like it's nothing. I realize I'm currently in that position, and I realized the other day, like, man, I'm gonna miss this crew that I, you know, I was part of their development, I was part of their systems, you know, I was part of the integrating their thinking, and we built relationships. Like, they were my team, they're my team, and we could trust, and I believe I'm their team, and we could trust each other and rely on each other, you know. But basically, just realizing that anything that is different or not the same that could be impacting you emotionally. So you might move out of a house that you lived in for 20 years of your life, or you might sell your parents' house, you know, or you might join the military or go away to college. Like, there are so many losses that we experience. You know, we have been watching the nation mourn over Kobe Bryant, and because of Instagram, people are doing such a good job of saying their goodbyes. You know, there was a time when that stuff would just sit on somebody's shelf and they really didn't know what to do with it. But it's unresolved emotional communication to an event, a person, a place, a thing. And that's what grief recovery is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good. Because people don't think of that. People think of, oh, somebody died, I got to do some grief. You
exactly.
Know, I'm
gonna and grieve. I have to do something because somebody died.
While it is death, divorce, and those types of losses, it's also so much more. Mm-hmm. And for the living, like, you know, yeah, we miss somebody who went, you know, who has stopped breathing, who has, you know, whatever your beliefs are, went to heaven, whatever your beliefs are, who's no longer here. But there's so much more that occurs on a day-to-day basis, and their little micro griefs, if I could call them that, mm-hmm. that we don't address, and then they pile up and it becomes cumulative grief, and then we're just sad every freaking day and we're not sure why.
So even though we're deep diving and talking about the shame and blame and all of that, that yes, those definitely are things that we need to do some grief recovery work on. Mm-hmm. But in looking at all the everyday things, and I liked your the word that you said, micro griefs. I thought that was good because it just addresses all of it. Yeah. Now, look, now I'm like, maybe I need to stop and go do some grief recovery work, because there's a lot of different things that I think that I didn't equate the two, like the leaving the jobs, taking the time, even when I went to Belize, even though it was time for myself and I felt like I needed that for my own sanity and spiritual healing and all of that, I was away from you guys. I was away from family, friends. And so, like, I'm like, wow, those are little grieving moments. Like, I was there for Thanksgiving when everybody like, oh, where you going? What you doing? I was like, I'm feeding the chickens and I'm outside.
I'm not eating sweet potato pie.
But good thing is I have family and friends there now too. And so I went and I did eat with them, and you know, we just kind of did our own little thing, but it's still different. Remember, Christmas used to be a huge thing for me, right? Like, and I think everybody need to do a grief recovery thing behind that, even you, because I remember the first year I said, well, I'm not doing Christmas anymore. You was like, wait, what? What you mean? Like, it just didn't click.
Yeah. And Kay, we were trying to figure out, like, well, we're not doing brunch? Like, we're not doing brunch? Like, so.
Are we supposed to give a gift too? Right. I'm not.
I mean, the last, you know.
All right, ladies, any final thoughts on it's not your weight to carry? Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Just thinking about that, it's so not your weight to carry unless you make it your weight. And we tend to do that. We tend to make it our issue. And I, whether people believe it or not, I really believe your birth order has a lot to do with a lot. You know, I'm like the firstborn. And I believe that everything is my problem for my whole family.
All three of us are the firstborn.
When and there yes, you go, so all I believe that know you can thing. Relate that. See, and it's so it's like you believe it's your weight to carry, but when you step back and you're like 50 years old, and I kid you not, it has not been that long where I had to just realize, like, my siblings are adults, every last one of them. Like, they are okay, but I still treat them like they're my kids. Like, they have to be okay. Like, do y'all have this? Y'all all right? Like, do you need this? And it's the weirdest thing. So it's one of those things, like, you carry that weight because you think you're supposed to, but it's not really your weight to carry. And you can apply that to any part of life. But even at this age, I still find myself, like, feeling like if they're okay, then I'm okay. If they're not okay, something's wrong. Something's wrong with everything. So. Yeah. That's something I've always worked on, and I'm just now getting to the point where I can exhale, like, okay, well, they're grown. There's really not much I can do. But it took a lot of years to get to that. And so you do. At some point, you just have to let go and say, you know, I'm not responsible. And that's just with any kind of weight, any kind of thing that you take on.
But in other situations, I think with us, especially as women, I can think of very specific situations where Tracy, our friendship, where your heart might have been broken about something, and I was like, I'll carry this for you. Sometimes we need to talk to our sisters and our friends and our support group, and like, we need to help each other carry the weight. It's not ours to carry, but somehow we took it on. So now we need help with distributing it so we can deal with it in a different light. And maybe it's a solution at the start. You know, it doesn't deal with the pain associated with the weight we're carrying or that invisible barrier, that the sticker bush that's on the side of us. But it does, like, minimize the load so that I can break it down in parts and pieces where I can deal with it. You carry this for me for 1 minute, Kay. I just need you to hold this bag for me while I sit here, because my broken heart is hiding behind that bag and I need to deal with it, you know, but I can't if I get up into doable pieces, manageable. I don't know, girl.
No, you do know. And I think that's the perfect answer.
El Salvador is kicking in.
That's the perfect answer. It says that we do need to, everybody needs to just have their hands on one or two just true friends. And I don't think we all have the access. And it's nothing like it. You can get through those things. So a lot of times, like you say, I don't need you to fix everything. I just need you to be there. Just take a little bit. And that's all I need. And I think that's a start to, I don't care what we talk about on this platform. If you just had that one, I mean, look at the three of us. How does it happen? If you just have that one, two, maybe three.
Right.
Just good friends. It could be done, you know, no matter what it is. And we as women, instead of holding each other up and helping each other, we tend to not want to do that all the time. And so we always in search of other women to just help somebody. And it doesn't have to be me, that next person. Just help that next person next to you, somebody. And it does. It takes such a weight off. And I think you're absolutely right. So even if you don't come up with the problem, how many times has it been where you've been in a situation where even Tracy just listening to you just helped? Like, I don't need you to fix nothing. Just listen to me. I might sound crazy, but just listen to me and don't judge me. And you feel better. Mm-hmm. So I find it so strange when people don't have those type of people in their life. And it's true. Everybody just doesn't have that type of person.
I was just thinking about like resources, because you were talking about support and that. And so where do women who are in our age group, where do they go to find support and resources? And I'll tell you, I started, after you and I talked yesterday, Patty, I started doing all of this research on 50s, like women in their 50s who are psychologists, who deal with relationships,
all of it.
Mm-hmm. Like dating, everything. I look for bloggers, I look for podcasters, I look for all these different things. And so this morning, I just got up and I just started writing this blog post, like, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you know, I think that one of the things that we do need to do is get back to sisterhood. You know, think about when we were little girls, you know, we had our friends, we had our one or two best friends, and we did everything together and we talked about everything. And then as we grew, we kind of let some of those relationships go. And not that they were things that we wanted to let go. This is also probably something that we need to do some grief work on. But it's not that we actually wanted to let them go. Life happened. You know, and now it's like, oh man, you know, we sit and we think, like, there's a couple of people that I'll see on social media. It's like, man, I wonder how she's really doing. You know, I'm wondering what she's doing right now. And it's like, you know what? Just reach out. Why not just start reaching out? Because sometimes we're probably, and most of the time, we're probably thinking the same thing. Oh, you know what? I wonder how Patty doing. Let me call her today. I wonder how Chrissy is. Let me call and let me check on her today. So I think that there are different ways for us to start making and recreating these relationships and the relationships that we want. The other thing is, the thing that started working for me is I started finding conferences, and I found the retreat, and just things that I have interest in, and just started working that way. Cause just in thinking, I guess, about friendships and the need for that. Cause you gotta have somebody that you do, you know, turn around and, okay, take this from me just for a minute, or let me just unload, and I don't want your help. Might not need it.
What you're talking about is things have loosened up, and yes, some of our people in this age group have kept those friendships forever, but you can't tell me that your husband didn't join the military and you didn't move all the way to, you know, Timbuktu, where we all grew up in Ohio. Now you're living in Arkansas, you know, and just being able to create that connection for yourself so that you have a safety network that allows you to continue to grow and process, not where we're just getting together for, you know, wine after work, but definitely getting together to heal after work. You know what I mean? Like, here, this is the important stuff. We got to make room for our lives to grow and change. When I talk about the next 25 years of my life, I have to do this with you guys. Like, I have to do this part so that I have room for that part.
And then you can turn around and help the next group coming through. You know, it's not like we're going to be feeling forever.
Right.
It kind of went from the 20-somethings doing their thing, the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings, they doing their thing. Then it jumps to, like, elderly. I was like, wait, what? 60s? Like, we ain't there. We just, we're not, like, there's a whole gap. We're in the gap.
And the facility that I work in, the largest number of people that are getting help are between 40 and 60.
See?
And that tells me that my life has changed so much that I started looking outside myself for something to make me feel better. Male and female combined, 40 to 60 is the largest group that I see in that environment.
Well, and a lot of times, if you think about it, because we've also talked about this, is that we had to do what we had to do initially in life. And then somewhere we never picked up doing the things that we wanted to do. And so we just kind of been going along to get along this whole time. And it's like, oh my God, like, and then people
hiding behind the busyness
and struggling
behind the busyness,
behind the busyness. Right.
And the busyness didn't really give us a name. It gave us something to do.
Exactly.
It didn't give us an identity. It didn't give us our true value. It just gave us something to do.
Exactly. You know what it is. We got to pause for the calls.
It's time to slay with Trey. Hey, it's time to slay with Trey. Hey, it's time to slay with... Yeah, I know I'm a little bit crazy. I claim my crazy, though, and love every bit of it. I hope you do, too. The Slay with Trey segments are always going to be about self-love because I feel like we just don't love ourselves enough. So here is where I'm going to love on you a little bit. And I'm going to share different poems and essays and excerpts from books and my favorite things that help me get to a place where I actually love myself in hopes that you will love you too. Shame, blame, guilt, fear, victimization, not enoughness. These are all things that have the ability to bind us up, hold us back, and keep us stuck, stagnant, and afraid to move, afraid to do anything. Self-loathing and self-sabotage are often its reflection. Emotional and mental damage results from the lack of awareness, the lack of attention, and the lack of ownership of such feelings. Our goal, then, has to be to acknowledge them and become aware of the internal and external factors of self-limiting beliefs and behaviors, of deep-seated hurts that have greatly affected the psyche, keeping you from living your ultimate life as the goddess you're designed to be. It is not enough to just become aware, though. You gotta own it in order to release it. You gotta own it in order to overcome it. You gotta own it in order to create different thoughts, feelings, perceptions, and beliefs about whatever it is, about whatever happened to you, about whatever you're holding on to. You gotta own it first. So until next time, my dear goddesses, much love from the goddesses of the Laugh Out Loud podcast. May you too live your life out loud and on purpose. We love you.